So, nothing says worship like I am here rosters, all right? So there's a bulletin, I mean, there's a clipboard under your seat. Go ahead and fill that out when you get a second. We want to make sure that you are here, and we want to stay in touch. So, welcome to SRC, everyone. Come on. Oh, it's always hard to transition from worship to this. It's good. All right, so also, connection cards. We also have connection cards. If you're new here, any first-time visitors? Right here? Okay, give it up. Give it up for it. All right. I was desperate. I was like, please. All right. So go ahead and fill out that connection card. It's in the back of your seat. And you can redeem that at the Welcome Center for a cup of coffee. Actually, there's a whole bag of coffee here. And there's, a PowerPoint clicker. You get that? No, I'm just kidding. We'll just put that there. All right. Sorry, Darren. You're just going to have to rely on my man David back there. All right. But yeah, go ahead and redeem that in the back. And creating atmospheres where God shows up. That's our vision statement. So go ahead and redeem that. And you also get an awesome CD. So Watchmen series, one of my favorites. All right, so also if you're anyone new for the past six to nine months, this is the first time you've come to this church. You've been here for about 6 to 9 months. Put your hand down, Walter. All right, just kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time. All right, so if you want to find out more about SRC's unique purpose, vision, mission, and values, we have an awesome time for you. It's called New Intro to SRC. So you can sign up at the kiosk in the back. It's a great way to take a step further into the church, to take a step further into maybe what God is calling you to here, and to really just respond to the community that God's building here. So that's happening. You can sign up at the kiosk this Sunday. Also next Sunday, you can sign up as well. Healing your land prayer training. So healing the land. All right, you guys have heard about the awesome prayer training that's happening. You guys heard about that? All right. Well, if you want more information, you can talk to Debbie in the back, but you can sign up online or in the offering. So it's $30. It's a really powerful time. They're bringing in speakers just for this training, Lord, I'm still praying. And you can just put the $30 in the offering and just put healing your land prayer training. I think it was the healing your that I was, anyways, all right, still praying. All right, so the signups close next Sunday, which is August 16th, so make sure you take care of that today or by next Sunday. All right, and today is an awesome day because we are stepping into a new season, not totally brand new. We've had some groups and some great community that's here, but we're taking a step even further into community with a thing called Connect Groups. Really awesome time. You guys might have gotten the catalog for all the different Connect Groups. You might be looking, you know, on what menu item you want to select. We'll be sending a waiter over to you to get your drink order, and then we'll be getting that going. It's cool. All right, hey-o. All right, so just pick which one you want to join. There's a lot of awesome ones here at SRC. There's a lot of great home groups. Make some noise if you've ever been a part of a home group before. Yeah. It's a great time to build community, great time to eat someone's food, great time to go kind of fill out their couch, and also just to build a lot of relationships. So there's a form that you can fill out to just say your name, your spouse's name, and what group you plan to connect with. So those who would like to sign up for the Activation School 101 group and are not members can sign up for Intro to SRC today. So that Intro to SRC is your step into later on Activation 101 and 201. So there's a graduation to that. With that said, we have an awesome video that we want to play for you guys. So if we can cue that up, and good to go. Action. Five, four, three, two, I practice that. I do it. You guys ever do that at stoplights? In 5, 4. It worked.
Hey everybody, Pastor Darren here. I'm excited to announce that we are launching our Connect groups this fall, and we're going big this year. We're launching them all over the Pacific Northwest, and most likely, wherever you're at, there's probably a group near you. And so there's specialty groups like hiking groups, prophetic art groups. There's also Bible studies, women's Bible studies, men Bible studies, prayer groups, intercessory groups. So you'll want to check it out. This is a big deal for us. It's one of our main priorities as a church moving forward, because we don't want to grow any wider at the expense of becoming more shallow. It's impossible for us to connect as a people if all we have are Sunday mornings. We really need to be connecting during the week, getting to know each other, to encourage each other, to love each other, to pray and minister for each other. That's really the purpose of these connect groups, is for us to intentionally connect. So I would just love to challenge you, encourage you to be intentional to connect here at Seattle Revival Center through a connect group. Today, you can sign up for a group. At the back of the church, there's a table with clipboards for groups. If you look in your bulletin, there is a brochure, a connect group catalog, where you can see all the different groups. You can see what they're studying. You can see all the different books. And you can find a group that works good for you. Again, I would just encourage you to intentionally connect here at Seattle Revival Center through a connect group. Definitely sign up today. You are loved.
Hi, my name's Miranda. I'm here to talk about how the Genesis process has changed my life, thanks to God. Before the Genesis process, my coping behaviors and addictions were, I was really codependent. I was searching for love and belonging in men, as well as I did drugs, alcohol, the list goes on, anxiety, self-sabotaging was my favorite. The Genesis process helped me identify and deal with and heal from my coping behaviors by first, there's a lot of processes inside the Genesis process that helps you identify them, find out your triggers, what caused them. I think the Genesis process is, the best thing about it is that it goes to the core. So a lot of it was from my childhood, growing up in a dysfunctional family. The process that gave me my aha moment was, it's in the second book. It's kind of like rebuking the false belief that you've been living by. So there's this process in there that you kind of ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth about a certain false belief that you've been living by. That process changed me dramatically, because at that moment I did the process, asked the Holy Spirit to tell me the truth about this lie that I'd been living by. It hurt really bad. I think that's where the change come from, is the truth about it. And then at that moment I started to be able to see the truth of what God believed about me, which was totally opposite from what I had been living by my whole life. So my life is completely different. I think that everybody kind of struggles with it, actually, self-sabotage. Sabotaging your life, you know, when you get it to where I've gotten to where my life got good before, and then I sabotage it. So that is different now, because I'm able to identify certain things that I do, the thought process that goes into your mind. The limbic system is what the Genesis teaches about. And the limbic system holds on to things that, coping behaviors that you learned during survival. And as soon as you start feeling those and thinking those thoughts, I'm able to actually identify them now, grab them, hold them, take them captive, and tell them to go away. So I think that it's been a huge change, because there are always times where I'm going to walk in life and be triggered by something that I may have gone through in the past. And now I'm able to identify it. When I have a certain feeling, I'll ask God, reveal what this feeling's about. Usually, almost immediately, God will show me exactly what the trauma is, and then I can just pray against it, self-talk, telling myself that it's not the same anymore, I'm a new creation, so on. I would tell women that are thinking about taking the Genesis process to just do it. I think that it's a great opportunity to learn about yourself, free yourself completely from what the world has put on you. It's not going to be easy. It does take some pain and it takes some willingness to be open and vulnerable. But as soon as you do, you get that stuff out of the way. You're not walking in shame and guilt anymore. And then you get the tools to continue to live in freedom. That's the best part about the Genesis process.
Oh yeah, make some noise. Special shout out to the Mongas, Aaron and Vanessa, amazing people. They've been, I mean, let's just give it up for them. Genesis process is a powerful, powerful thing. I've seen a lot of people get a lot of breakthrough through that. And you don't have to say be like in a place where you're broke. I mean, we're all broken, right? We're all broken. So everyone should take the Genesis process. And I need to take the Genesis process. So, and I actually told you that I would do the September one. So, well, you know, we'll see. We'll figure it out, you know? All right, anyways, so if the ushers could come, if you could come and if you could prepare your offering. Prepare your offering. It could be a check. Card, cash, you know, coins. I'm just kidding. But I don't have a verse for the offering, but I want to invite the children on up to the stage. Children, come on up to the stage. Come on up, children. My daughter took her first steps this week. So, yeah. So it's pretty cool to see all the kids running up. And I'm hoping she'll take her time because I'm gonna be tired, so. All right, so let's lift our hands up, out. Let's pray for these kids and pray for the offering. So Lord, we just thank you for these youngsters, Lord. Your kids, your children. Your precious gifts, God. We just we thank you for them. We pray your blessing on them as they go to their classrooms. We pray for the workers and the people who are laying their life down to serve and raise up these kids the way that they should go, Lord. And we thank you for their parents, God. We just pray your blessing on this time, Lord. And we also pray your blessing on our offering, God, that as we give you what we have, Lord, that you would just multiply it, God, that you would just stretch our minds beyond what we see to what you see, Lord. So in all these things, we ask it in your name. Amen. All right, so kids, go ahead and make your way to your classes. And with that, I'd like to invite the one, the only, Pastor Darren. Give it up for him.
Thanks, Anthony. Good work, good work. All right. How you guys doing? You doing well? Yeah? Awesome. How's the person doing next to you? Are they doing all right? Good. Well, welcome to Seattle Revival Center. I'm Darren, if we haven't met yet, and we're going to have some fun this morning. I wasn't supposed to speak today. We had I was supposed to have the summer off, but I'm actually happy to be speaking today, and so this isn't a chore or something for me. We're gonna have a lot of fun. It's been a great summer. Are you guys having a great summer so far? Yeah, we've been doing some intentional tree fort building this summer. A lot of swimming this summer. Some intentional fishing this summer. So we got our priorities at the Stott household. Amen. It's a blessing and an honor to have Betsy and and Chester. I wanted to call you Kilstra, but Betsy and Chester Kilstra, the founders of Restoring the Foundations Ministries, with us this morning. We love you guys. We love your heart. And we are so grateful for Restoring the Foundations and the impact that it's had on my life as a leader and as a father and as a husband, but as well as the impact that this ministry has had on our ministry team and so many leaders and individuals within this church. So thank you for being obedient to the Lord, for being courageous, and for pressing into the tension and for leading. So I applaud you and your leadership and your humility in order to raise up the next generation of leaders who continue to lead the charge. And so thank you so much. We love you guys. We honor you in this house. And so thanks again for being here. So we're in a series called Sexy Summer, and what we're talking about is, what does the Bible have to say about sexuality and about relationship? And so we started off this series, and I just kind of did an overview of what the Bible has to say in regards to covenant marriage, and then we had a week on sexuality outside of marriage. And then last Sunday, I hear Pastor Greg just was off the chain last Sunday with his message on, on homosexuality and I hope I can learn to talk today, but on homophobia and alethiophobia, which is just awesome. If you missed last Sunday, go online and listen to it. If you've been wrestling with your own beliefs regarding same-sex attraction, homosexuality, what does the Bible have to say? Where should your heart be in it? How do you talk about it? How do you engage with this whole thing? You will love Pastor Greg's message. You will love his heart. And so, Pastor Greg, thank you for bringing that awesome word and just how you brought it and just where your heart was at and just the heart of a father and how you delivered that. So that's awesome. What I want to do is I want to just open up in prayer. I'm just kind of looking around to see how many of you might be in the dating game this morning. I'm just kind of looking around. That might be more of the second service, but I think that there's probably something in this morning for all of us, because really what we're not talking about this morning is dating as much as we are relationship. And so the kingdom of God is composed of relationship, okay? You can't do kingdom life apart from relationship. And so relationship is a big deal to God, okay? It just is. And so that's where we're going this morning. Are you in? All right, if you're not in, you have 3 seconds to engage. Ah! Very good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the summertime, for a season when we can engage with our families and with our neighbors, when we get to come out of our homes and out of our caves. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our own hearts and lives. Thank you for how you're training us, Father, for reigning with you in heavenly places. We thank you for what you want to do and what you have been doing in this house today. We thank you for the awesome time of worship that we had this morning. We thank you, Father, that we get to come together in a corporate assembly to behold you and to declare who you are, that we get to do this in the context within our country, and we don't have to be afraid that we're going to be arrested or persecuted. Father, we don't want to take our freedom for granted this morning. We thank you that we get to be here. We thank you that we are not in hiding this morning. We thank you that we are the family of God, united for such a time as this. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to engage with us. And we, this morning, we choose to engage with you and the person of the Holy Spirit. We prepare our hearts and we say to our hearts, open wide, heart, open wide, mind, open wide, body, we receive everything that the Lord would have for us today. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit that brings freedom, life, and resurrection. And all God's children said, amen. All right. If you Google dating, you'll get 21 million results. If you Google anything in regards to matchmaking, you'll find 790 million results. Okay, so that's a lot of results. Andrea was just telling me recently that there was this whole website online, and it was developed to help spouses cheat on their spouse. And so it was a dating service for married people, and it would help cover all your tracks. And so you could cheat on your spouse, and this website was just geared for that. And apparently it was really quite popular until a hacker hacked the site and leaked out everybody who was using the site. And then you have all these people, trying to explain why they were using cheating.com or whatever the name of it was. I don't know. But we're living in a weird time. It used to be that all hackers were evil, and now it almost seems like God is using hackers. It's weird. I'm not advocating hacking, but these guys are linking shields to attack terrorists and Al-Qaeda and weird groups overseas. Isn't it just a weird time to be alive? It is, and I know Philip and Claire are all about what I'm talking about right now, but needless to say, if you get on the net, everything is geared around matchmaking and dating. And the reason why is because as humans, as a species, we have been hardwired for companionship. So you were created to receive love. You were wired to receive love, and you were created in the image and likeness of God to give love. In fact, if you're not receiving love and giving love, you are not fulfilling your purpose as a human being. I was at a chamber meeting for the city of Newcastle, and I felt like I was the token pastor there, and this guy was sitting across the table from me, and he asked me this question, and he said, "Do you believe that human beings are capable of giving love by nature, or do you believe they have to learn how to give love?" And I was like, "Crap, are you serious? I just wanted to eat Mexican food and network. And now you gotta ask me like this deep philosophical question, like, ugh." And then I didn't wanna look like a fool, right? Because I'm sitting at like, so I'm just like, "Jesus, God, help me please," right? And so I said to him, "I believe that we were created in the image and likeness of God to receive love and to give love. The problem is that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," right? So that we are all actually broken and fractured. So our hardwiring is unraveled to begin with. So everything in our DNA, I'm exaggerating what I said a little bit because now I'm kind of preaching and sharing a story at the same time, but just go with me. So I just basically said that we were born to give love and to receive love, but because we've been fractured, we're unable to do so. And so God decided to step into human history. He sends his son. That's the nature of the gospel, is that he rewires us. He gives us a new heart so that we are able to receive love and to give love. And when I was done, he just looks at me and goes, "Good answer." And it was really cool because I got to just present the gospel for all these business people sitting there. And but that's true. Every single one of us, we desire from the time that we're first born, we desire love in all of our cells, all of our senses, right? Like our ability to see, to smell, to taste, to touch, to feel, all of our senses. From the moment we're born, begin screaming, "Love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, love me," which is interesting. So we've had three children. Abigail is our first, Peter's our second, Sophia's our third. So when we had our third, apparently all these studies had come out regarding the importance of the first couple hours once your child is born. And so so it used to be, I don't want to be graphic, but you know, you have the baby, wah, 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 they're holding it by a toe, right? They throw it on a table. You know, they start sucking stuff out of its nose. You know, they're measuring it, hanging it on coat hangers, doing all these, you know. And meanwhile, mom and dad are like, "When do we get our baby?" Right? So apparently, they've switched up their methodology a little bit. So when Sophia was born, there wasn't any of that. It was kind of like, yeah, get the stuff. Let's get the baby to breathe, and then get the baby to mommy as quickly as possible. And they call it, Carrie could probably help me, but I think they call it like skin to skin, body to body. I don't know. But they want to get the baby from the womb to the chest of that baby's mommy as quickly as possible for uninterrupted skin-to-skin contact for at least an hour because of the bonding that takes place. Because the moment that that baby is born, all of the baby's senses are screaming, love me, love me, love me. And when you're being whipped around and thrown into all kinds of solutions and concoctions and, you know, having your eyeballs measured, when the baby's screaming out, where's my mommy, where's my mommy, where's my mommy? And there's a lot of us within the church, we are screaming, where's my mommy, where's my daddy? But we're not babies. Like we're not fresh out of the womb. We're full-grown, functioning adults trying to do the love game, trying to do the dating game, trying to do family life when all of our senses are screaming out, is it safe here? Is it safe here? I don't feel like it's safe here. Ah, I'm naked, I'm cold, I'm vulnerable. Somebody love me. When you look at the surveys that have been coming out in the church for years, and nothing is changing on these surveys, essentially what they tell us is the way Christians date is no different than the way non-Christians date. That the standards, the moral standards within Christian dating, they are no different. In fact, when it comes to divorce, and it just depends on what you read, in fact, they say now that people that profess Christ are more apt to get divorced than those who don't profess Christ. But you know what they say about statistics, right? We don't know. I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're going to go with stats, it doesn't matter what you're going to go with. Here's what we know, that when it comes to dating and when it comes to relationship, we got some huge problems within the body of Christ, and that's why we need to talk about this stuff. And it's not enough just to talk about it from a platform with an NSYNC mic, right? Baby. Like, these conversations have to be at coffee shops with other dudes, with other married dudes, single dudes getting together, the girls getting together, having these conversations, and most importantly, conversations with our children. The education system cannot wait to teach your children about sex. They can't wait to do it. It is so important that we as parents, that we beat the education system to the task. It is not the church's job to teach your children about Jesus. Parents, that is your job. It is not the school system's job to teach your children about sex. That is your job. The textbook for sexuality should be the Bible. Not some Marxist secularist who wants to teach your children about the beauty of transforming from an ape into a scientist. Like, as exciting as that is, if you believe you're an animal, you're going to act like an animal. But if you believe that you've been created in the image and likeness and glory and purity of God, if you believe that you've been created by God to reveal God, if you believe that you've been created by Him to live in union with Him, if you believe that your sexuality is your worship, if you believe that there is therefore no separation between you and the Lord in heaven and earth, then you can't put these things into little compartments. Some things are just not okay. Some things are okay. But what this generation wants is the truth. But we have been taught that we can't handle the truth. But with this generation, what this culture wants is the truth, and they can handle the truth. The truth is not informational. The truth is incarnational. The truth is a person. The truth is a holy person. The truth is Jesus the Christ. And when you receive Him, the information comes with the incarnation. And also comes an impartation. An impartation of what? It's an infusion of holiness. It's an infusion of the person, of the living one, the burning one, who's living within you. And now compromise is no longer an option. Why? Why? Because the King is in you. Because the Holy One is in you. Because now your eyes are different and your speech is different. Because now you are a new creation. And now you're living with a purpose. You're living with vision and with a mandate. Where there's no vision, the people perish. It's, if you look at it word for word, where there's no vision, there's no restraint. What does that mean? When there's no vision, this is what you get. Oh, here we go. What's your problem? They just need to be loved. No, they just need some eyesight. They need to see where they're going. They need to be given a map. Where does this begin? It begins in our homes. It begins with mom and dad. It begins with grandma and grandpa. It begins with some, you're just judgmental. Don't put your standards on me. If that's the way your first conversation is, you waited too long. It's not about being judgmental. It's not about being legalistic. It's about being filled and compelled by the love of God. That I so love you that I will tell you the truth. Because I am invested into your eternal joy. I am invested into your eternal happiness. That God is for you. I am for you. We're in this together. There's nothing you can do that would make me love you more. There's nothing you could do that would make me love you less. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, God loves you and he is faithful and it's not too late. Everyone say it's not too late. If you're single this morning and you think you're never going to get married, you're just going to live in isolation, but it's the desire of your heart to get married again. If that's you, say to yourself, it's not too late. It's not too late. I was built for companionship. I was built to be loved. I was built to give love. What's interesting is so many times when we talk about addiction, we talk about alcohol addiction, or we talk about porn addiction, drug addiction. But one of the most common addictions, one of the most accepted addictions within the church is relationship addiction. And what's interesting about relationship addiction is that when scientists look at the brain, how the brain functions and fires, Vanessa, Aaron, Matt, Ed Fish, anybody in the Genesis process, Betsy and Chester, they can tell you about how the brain fires and how it interacts with addiction. What's interesting is that the brain acts, it fires in the same mechanical way through relationship addiction as it does with drug addiction or alcohol addiction. And so what happens is that as a small child, you're saying, I need to be loved, I need to be held, I need to be, if you don't receive that, then there's a trauma that's created. There's an event or a lack thereof of an event within your childhood place, so that when you begin to receive affection later on in life, it can charge the brain in such a way where you continually need that charge. Or if sometimes you receive love as a child, and then all of a sudden you don't receive love later, if the same person that loves you one day as a little kid all of a sudden doesn't love you or doesn't have any time for you the next day, and then the next day loves you again, and the next day doesn't, again, a trauma is created, and now all of a sudden you fall into a cycle of chaos and anarchy and how it plays out within your life. So that when you grow up, you will be craving and longing for that same firing in your brain, for that same chaos in relationship, that you will actually create drama, you will actually create stress, because it charges, it fires the brain in the same way that getting high would trigger the brain. People will actually create drama and chaos and strife within marriages and relationships, and will go with literally jump from one relationship to the next relationship because they're compelled to, because they're driven to. You say, well, what do you do if you're in that place? There's a lot of practical things that you can do. But first of all, sign up for Genesis process before you leave today. Because some things you can't just get delivered of. So if you go through Sozo Ministry, another ministry that we offer here at the church, there are, or RTF, there are some things that can only be walked out and lived out in the context of community. It's interesting, side note. So a slumbering spirit. That's one of those things that they've learned, that a slumbering spirit, you're always tired, always lethargic, always wanting to fall asleep. They have learned over a period of time that that's one of those things that can't be cast out. That's one of those things that can be walked out through a process of sanctification, but that deliverance takes place through community, through healthy interaction. Here's the good news, that if you're in this place where you are jumping from relationship to relationship, from bed to bed, and you say, I love Jesus, but I have to have my next fix. I have to have my next man. I have to have my next woman. Here's the good news. God is good. He really, really loves you. And if you will invite him into your chaos, he will step into it. But you have to be willing, I have to be willing, to lay down these things that we've put above him. So one of my biggest concerns within dating that I see within the church is oftentimes frustration can be the motivating factor behind pursuing aggressive dating. So if you're here today and you are single and you're just saying, I want to get married so bad, I am sick and tired of being single, it's so important that we take our frustration, we take our brokenness, our contriteness, and we allow it to motivate us into a place of worship. Because what the enemy wants to do is he wants to use our frustration and our desperation to drive us into a place of self-worship, where we will do whatever it takes to get our needs met. And so this is where I want to take you today. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. So Matthew 22, 36 to 40. I think that if we can somehow get this text down, then it's going to take care of a lot of the practicalities when it comes to dating. So within this text, this religious guy comes up to Jesus, and he says, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus says to him, you shall, and if you know it, say it with me, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, when it comes to dating, if frustration comes in, what the enemy's going to do is he's going to try to exploit that frustration to say, God, I've given you a chance. God, I've trusted you. God, I waited on you, and you have not brought me my spouse. You have not brought me the one. How dare you, God? I've been righteous. I've been good. I've been waiting. I've been diligent, and you have not brought me my spouse. And now, because I'm frustrated at you, I'm going to turn my back on you, and I'm going to step into this game on my own. I'm going to be my own functional Lord. Yeah, I'm still Christian. Yeah, I still go to church. Yes, I still lift my hands and I still take notes. But when it comes to dating, this is going to be one area of my life where I'm going to be my own Lord and Savior. And here's what happens. When you decide that you're going to be the master of your life within finding your spouse, then you have permission to do whatever it takes to find the one. In fact, it doesn't have to be the one, because your need within you is so hungry, it's for a spouse, that you're willing to do whatever it takes. It doesn't have to be the one. It just has to be someone. Anyone. Why? Somebody love me. There's that thing in us that longs to be loved, to be appreciated. And our brain is firing or not firing, whatever else. And so this is why oftentimes within the church, that people, everyone says that people backslide right out of high school, but oftentimes when we see people backslide here at Sierra Revival Center, it's when they start dating. They completely turn away from the Lord. Not because they said, I'm going to turn my back on you, Jesus. Not because they ever said that, but because it was the one area of their life where they were allowed to compromise, where they were allowed to be their own Lord and Savior. And then, if you're allowed to be your own Lord and Savior, if you have no morality in this one area of your life, then you're allowed to do whatever it takes without any sort of consequences. So now you have Christians that are sleeping together, that are living together, and when I chat with them, you know, they're here. They're here today. They're here in this church. When I chat with them, it's not a big deal. To them, it's not a big deal. And within me, I'm like, I just want to scream sometimes. Ah! How can this not be a big deal? And it's because they have established a sphere. They have established a realm where they are allowed to rule within that realm based off of their own needs, their own expectations, their own disappointments, and their own sinful responses. So here's what the enemy loves to do, whether it's within your sexuality or within your business life or within your financial life or whatever, the enemy will come and tempt you wherever he can. He's crazy like that. So here's what he does. He tricks us into creating a realm where our desires become Lord, where our desires begin to frame up our demands. We believe that we're entitled to act out on our sinful responses without any sort of consequences, even in our own relationship with the Lord. And from that come expectations, from that come disappointments. There is a realm, and you know who's not in that realm? Jesus. God will not bless your idolatry. He will not bless your idols. And so, Now they come to Pastor Darren. Will you marry us? No. But you married those people that weren't even Christians. Right. Because they had more integrity in their unbelief than you have in your belief. I've married people that aren't even Christians. Can you believe that? Who had already merged their finances like 6 to 8 months before they were ever even married. I know Christians that have been married 10, 20 years that still haven't merged their finances, that still don't trust each other. True. Don't ask the Lord to bless you in your idolatry. Step out. Repent. What does repent mean? Does it mean to do a U-turn? No, it just means to turn away from that realm where Jesus isn't in that realm and find the realm where Jesus is and leave all your baggage out of that place. You guys okay? I'm just experimenting on you. All right. This stuff that doesn't work, I won't do in the next service, but here we go. Pay attention right now to your heart. Listen to your heart right now. Like, what's going on? Is there anxiousness? Go ahead and close your eyes. Don't look at me. I'm making you anxious. Quiet your mind for a second. Holy Spirit, you are the revealer of truth. You long to reveal the Son so the Son can reveal the Father. And just say, Holy Spirit, what's going on in my heart? Now, is there anxiousness? Find that place where maybe there's a disconnect. A realm that you've created, that you've framed up through your disappointment, through your needs, through your desires, and a place that you've created and left Jesus out of it. Now look at that whole realm and identify it for what it is, an idol. Would you be willing this morning to lay that down? That place that feels safe, that place that you created to protect yourself from being disappointed and hurt again, that place that you've created, would you be willing to lay that down so you can step into a true, safe place with your Heavenly Father? Would you be willing to do that? If so, just repeat after me. Just say, Father, I choose to trust you. I declare you are committed to my desires. You know about my every need. allow for me to reframe my expectations. I give you my disappointments. I give you my sinful responses and triggers. I repent for doing life in this realm without you. And I lay it down. I step out of that place, and I step into that place where you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the problem is that we do life so fast, and we do it that way on purpose. We set up our schedules so that we're so busy, and we do it that way on purpose. Why? Because when we slow down, when we're still, when we're quiet before the Lord, our soul starts to tattle on us. Our soul starts to cough up that stuff that's within us that we don't want to look at. But it's really, really good just to slow it down, to pay attention to what's going on in your heart. When we fall into idolatry, you know why we do it? It's because oftentimes the devil tricks us into thinking that another idol will make us happier than God. That something else or someone else will give us more satisfaction than the Lord. Oftentimes, the devil tricks us believers into thinking that God is the killjoy, that God is the rule maker, the rule giver. But one of the things that we just prayed together is that God is invested into your desires. Do you know why? Because he put them there. Your desire to be loved, your desire to be appreciated. He didn't put that in you just to torture you. When God created Adam, what did God say to Adam? It's not good for this guy to be alone. So what did God do? He created Eve. We have to learn that God is committed to our desires and that we don't have to apologize for our desires. We can talk about them and not be embarrassed. What desires are in your heart that you haven't talked about with your spouse? The things that really, really matter to you, the stuff that you'd really love to see, the places that you'd really like to go, the stuff that you'd really, really like to do that you haven't talked about because you think that if I talk about it, I'm just going to be seen as selfish. Everything's just going to be about me. God has put some beautiful gold within you, and it needs to be stewarded and cultivated. And you know where those things get stewarded and cultivated? Within marriage, within relationship. Within companionship. Yeah? All right. So, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Amen? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And so, here's just a couple practical things that I'll just throw out to you guys. First of all, men engage, women respond. Everyone say, men engage, women respond. Here's what this means. Men, if you're being pursued by a woman, she needs healing. She's got issues that are triggering her and driving her to go after you. Don't date her. Women, you are the prize. You are the princess. You are the beauty. Let him pursue you. Men, engage. Now, you guys have heard my story, so I'm not going to tell it to you again. But I'll just be honest with you. If you think you're a coward, I was a bigger coward than any of you. Asking my wife out was the hardest thing I ever did. It almost killed me, literally. My head almost exploded, right? Like it was absolutely terrifying. I almost didn't do it. And at the last second, I forced myself to. It was the most difficult thing I've ever done. Just calling up Andrea on the phone and asking her if she'd go on a real date with me. An actual date where I would pick her up. Guys, it's tough. It's supposed to be tough. This whole thing is just going to get tougher. Why? Because marriage is all about your crucifixion. Get ready to get crucified, men. Yay! It starts tough. It gets tougher. And then it gets tougher, tougher. But it is awesome. It's glorious. It's God's pattern. It's beautiful. Men, engage. Ask her out. And here's the thing. Men, you single guys, if you ask her out and you get rejected, guess what? You get a free lunch. Pastor Keith's like, what? All right, call the church here. One of the pastors will take you out to lunch. We'll buy you a burger. We'll give you a treat. We'll give you a high five. Get on the phone, call the church, say, Linda, I was just rejected by a pretty girl. Get me Greg, Darren, Keith, I need a burger. Come on now. Come on now. It's okay. Rejection is just an opportunity to get a sense of humor. Come on now. Women, if you reject a man because he was not the right man, he might have a great job, he might be pretty, he might, you know, have a great car, but you know in your heart, women, trust your gut. If when he asks you out, you really, really want to, but your gut tells you it's wrong, that is the Holy Spirit. Women, trust your gut. And if you reject him, call the church. Sandy, Linda, my mom, one of the women elders will take you out and buy you a chicken salad. Or a burger. Men, engage. Be rejected. It's okay. It's part of the deal. Men, pray. Seek the Lord. That's part of the deal. Women, reject them. Make it hard. Make it difficult. Make him pursue you. You're worthy of the pursuit. And bottom line, don't sleep with him. Don't sleep with her. God wired you, your DNA, to bond to one person. Talk to Matt, the Kilstras, with Aaron and Vanessa. They'll tell you about the brain. Our body chemistry is made for us to bond to one person. It happens through the eye gate. It happens even through the chemicals that are released during sex. That the scientific community, Google it, you'll learn all about how the body releases hormones, endorphins, all these things, and both parties for one purpose, to bond. To bond. And then you have the spiritual, mystical, supernatural dynamic where actual souls come together. For what? To bond. And once you have bonded, I will hear this load of smack coming from your mouth. The Lord wants us to be together. No, he does not. You do. And you're saying that it's God because you are so entangled. You are so entangled with chemicals and hormones and endorphins and supernatural bonding and tie. You don't know what God wants. You have no business saying this is what God wants when you have opened up that realm to someone who is anti-God. Are you saying it's too late for me? Are you saying it's too late for us as a couple? No, it's never too late. God is so merciful. God is so loving. But here's what you need to do. Keep your relationship under authority. Dudes, go through her dad. Ask permission. Meet with the family. Amen? But she doesn't have a dad. Her family's somewhere else. Then meet with her pastor. She doesn't have a family. Go meet with her pastor. She doesn't have a pastor. Then get her into church and don't date for a while. Let's keep God first. Let's put the kingdom first. But look, once you've opened that door, now it's time to close that door. Now it's time to put your relationship on hold. It's called put it on the altar. It's maybe we don't text each other. Let's take a break. Let's have some separation. Let's get God back into our lives. Let's do this right. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if there's one thing in life that's worth doing right, it's in courting and pursuing your bride. Women, if there's one thing that's worth doing right, it's allowing the right man to pursue you in the same way that the Lord pursued you. Women, if he doesn't love Jesus more than you, he's not ready for you. I don't believe in being equally yoked. I think that you need to be able to pull your own weight, but he can't just pull his own weight spiritually. He's got to be able to pull your weight, his weight, your neighbor's weight, don't just marry somebody that's getting along. Marry an ox. Marry a bull. I mean, so many times, well, he believes in Jesus. That does not make you equally yoked. Ask him every question you can think of. What's your theology regarding divine healing? What's your theology regarding the atonement? What's your theology regarding prophecy and the gifts today? What? Tell me. I want to hear you unpack it. You can't unpack it, and I can. We're not equally yoked. Our kid gets sick, and I'm contending for healing, and you're watching TV. Not going to work. Yeah, not going to work. Bottom line, if we want to do it right, if we want to do life right, if we want to do relationship right, what do we do? Everyone go back to Matthew 22. Above all things, love the Lord with everything in you. Love him. And when you start to feel that thing within your heart that wants to create a place where he does not exist, the enemy has a plan for your life and he's tempting you to pull you into that place. Jesus came that we would have life and life abundantly. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why would you want to partner with the enemy in preparing for the rest of your life with this person? So good. So you say, I've been married for 50 years. This sermon, I don't need this sermon. Yeah, but we all know people that are on the dating game right now. And guess what? It comes a certain time when you, like, when you get, apparently from what I hear, you get older and your children grow up and now you don't have that same amount of influence. But guess what? You can have a tremendous amount of influence in the life of somebody else's child. And if you know somebody and you're not their parent, but they respect you, you have a tremendous amount of influence. And somewhere there's a mom and a dad that are saying, I just wish somebody would tell my son what God thinks about this. I just wish somebody would tell my daughter. If you see something, the reason why you see it is because God has opened your eyes to it. And if you see it, it's time to step into love and to respond with the heart of the Father. Love God with everything in you and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love makes us do some pretty crazy things. But that's what this whole thing is about. This whole thing is about engaging in a deeper level of relationship with God and with people. For those of you that have gotten really comfortable living in isolation, maybe that's something that the Lord wants you to repent of. For those of you that have really gotten used to just not being close to people, maybe that's something that the Lord wants to lay it down. But it's safe to be by myself. And if I get to be by myself, I get to do whatever I want. Yeah. But maybe the Lord has created somebody for you to be your helpmate, your companion. Maybe the Lord has created somebody that's even weirder than you are. Maybe they'll even complement your weirdness. Or if the Lord has called you to a life of singleness, take advantage of it. Quit your job. Travel to India. Tell everybody about Jesus. Be a trailblazer. Go make big risks. Go do crazy stuff that you would never do if you were married and had kids. If you're going to do the life of singleness, great. Do the life of singleness. But be crazy. Be just crazy. Just go do insane stuff for Jesus. But if the Lord has called you to a life of marriage and companionship, then do that and do it well. And be crazy still. Go ahead and stand up. Let's pray. This is what I want to do. Let's ask Jesus to show us where he wants us to lay down our guards and stuff. And let's just ask him just to show us how this thing fits with where we're at. Is that good? So let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you. We love your presence. We love your ways. Show us, Father. Show us what's in our hearts. If you feel like you're the person that has isolated yourself because that's where it's the most safe, just ask the Father. Just say, "Hey, Father, show me what lies I have believed that motivated me to create this place where you are but no one else is." If you're the person this morning and you say, "I am incapable of trusting people. I trust the Lord, but I am incapable of trusting people. I will never be able to trust people." If that's you, just bring that to the Lord. Holy Spirit, show us what lies we have believed that have motivated us to create this realm where trust cannot exist. For those of us here where we are so bound and connected with our past that we can't move into the future because the past is always pulling us back. So even people that we haven't seen in 5, 10, 15, 20 years are always in our subconscious, tormenting us and refusing to let us go into the future because we've been bound to them sexually or inappropriately in some sort of unhealthy way. If that's you, the Lord wants to sever that tie so that you can be released from your past and set free into your future and into your destiny. So I'll just lead you through a quick prayer. And just if the Holy Spirit just leads you in this, go ahead and just engage with this, because I think the Lord's going to set some people free from the pain and the trauma of their past so that we can get it, so that we can move forward. Amen? So just say, "Father, I renounce all ungodly and unhealthy spiritual ties, perhaps with a previous spouse, perhaps even with my children, friends, my mother, my father. I renounce and break every ungodly and unhealthy spiritual tie, even with grandparents, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, and sexual partners. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I renounce all ungodly spiritual ties with anyone who has had homosexual relationships, with sexual abusers, with pornography, with any person who has engaged with inappropriate touch, with emotional abusers, with physical abusers, with anyone I've had romantic relationships with, and with any object of fantasy. I renounce and break these ungodly and unhealthy spiritual ties, and I receive your forgiveness and your grace, Father." And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would break every soul tie that has bound us to people, places, and things, that has refused to let us go from our past, and that has kept us anchored to the past so that we can move to the future. And today we choose to move forward. We set our eyes on the future. We set our eyes on the future. We set our eyes on the cross that has made a way, that has made provision for us to be set free. So I declare freedom right now, right now, right now, over each and every son and daughter in this place. I declare freedom over you, over your mind, your will, and your emotions. And Father, I pray that you would break every ungodly and unhealthy chain that has kept us bound in the area of isolation, secrecy, and addiction. And Father, I pray that we would reframe up our future, that it would be a realm that you dwell in, and where the spirit of trust, where the spirit of grace, where the spirit of peace dwell. We declare over ourselves, we were created for relationship. We were created for companionship. And we will move forward with you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Ministry team, would you come? And look, if you just like some prayer, somebody to stand with you, somebody just to love you, we'd love just to like minister to you this morning. You can share stuff that's going on in your heart, or you don't have to say anything. We're just here just to love you and just to practically stand with you and to cover you in this place. So if that's you, don't run, don't go. Stick around a little bit and let us just minister to you this morning. Otherwise, you are loved. God bless you.